H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Law enforcement scrambling to find the killer of Charlie Kirk, the 31-year-old leader of the most powerful conservative youth organization in the country, Turning Point USA. Kirk was answering questions from the crowd at a rally on the campus of Utah Valley University when a bullet hit him in the neck, killing him.
We were like 15 feet away, and I thought like the shot was like a firecracker or something. It just didn't seem real.
Mia Grant, who was at that rally, President Trump calling Charlie Kirk a good friend and calling for flags to be flown at half-mast in honor of him. Official commemorations are beginning this hour in New York City and at the Pentagon, marking 24 years since the 9/11 attacks. A ceremony begins next hour in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where United Flight 93 went down. We are finding out this hour new inflation numbers, including on the Consumer Price Index. The Fed meets next week to decide on interest rates. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation is calling on agricultural workers to push back against fee increases by the DATCP. The license fee for the animal market Class A category would increase from $420 to over $7,400, and the registration fee for truckers moving livestock would jump from $60 to nearly $400. The increases are scheduled to go into effect in July of 2027. The DATCP says fees haven't increased since 2009, and the agency needs more revenue due to decreased federal funding. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is reminding residents to check a used vehicle they're planning to buy for potential flood damage. According to a press release, water damage can be difficult to spot and could cause mechanical and electrical issues. Before purchasing the vehicle, residents should check for a damp or musty smell, look for water signs, discoloration, or mud in the engine, and test the functionality of all electrical components. Buyers should also consider having their own mechanic inspect the vehicle. District officials say Hayward Middle School was placed into lockdown protocols on Tuesday following a report of a student with a weapon. According to a letter to families, law enforcement authorities were contacted as soon as school officials received the report. Officers located the student and confirmed they were in possession of a weapon, which was confiscated. The school was in lockdown for about 20 minutes while the student was removed from campus. Officials could not share further details due to student confidentiality concerns. The Wisconsin Beef Council and Gather Wisconsin have introduced their 2025 Prime Rib Trail as part of an effort to showcase restaurants across the state. The 16-restaurant trail includes four locations in the Northwest Wisconsin region, including Chicken Chasers Bar and Grill in Fall Creek, Jake's Supper Club in Menominee, Lehman's Supper Club in Rice Lake, and Pine Creek Pit Stop in Ashland. Residents can also nominate their favorite restaurant for consideration in the 2026 Prime Rib Trail on the Wisconsin Beef Council's website or on social media. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a three-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. I know in the last 2 years, this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on the road, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of dense fog through mid-morning. Then expect partly sunny skies to develop, a beautiful September day with a high of 71. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows near 50 degrees. On Friday, a mix of sun and clouds, another great day with a high of 75. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
I've got a little personal business to attend to, but don't worry. We've got a special re-airing of Girls Rock and then a best of curated just for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, September 11th. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot has the day off, and she'll be off tomorrow as well, getting into a long weekend. A foggy start to her long weekend. There's a dense fog advisory out until at least 9 o'clock for much of the western half of Wisconsin. Stick around to your local Civic Media station for your own local forecast. Let's see. Normally, it's around 7:07 in the morning, not 8:07 that we hear from Rob in Tigerton, but he pops up on YouTube now to say good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and foggy and 58 degrees. I went to Clintonville to get supplies for my CPAP machine and had homemade pizza at my sister Lori's house in Caroline. He says, I didn't agree about the politics of Charlie Kirk, but it makes it heartbreaking that he has a wife and two very young children who will not see their father growing up. My nephew Jim passed away from cancer in 2009. He was 32 years old, married, and had a one-year-old daughter that my sister Lori was talking about. He says, we need to respect people regardless of their political beliefs. We just need to sit down and listen to one another and exchange ideas. And as to why we're only hearing from him now, he concludes with, I overslept this morning. Well, get in line, because Parker Olson has been excelling at that this week. We have a weekly planning meeting for the show here Wednesday afternoons. And, you know, we take roll call. We do take attendance. But Mr. Olson was nowhere to be found. So
you'll
recall that yesterday morning, he slept through his alarms and got to the station, you know, shortly before the show began. So he was, you know, he was clearly addicted to the sleep and needed more of it, got what he could yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, it was tough. I came home early from work because I knew I was going to be working at night for Idea Fest. So I thought I'll take a nap during the day and I'll set an alarm for our show meeting. And that alarm never happened.
You know, you have to slide the little thing over till it turns green.
And I didn't even make the alarm. I just fell asleep.
Yeah, no, but understandable. It's fodder for joshing more than anything else, because, you know, things go on. There's still somebody on the radio willing to talk. And if you're not there, and if I'm not there, Chad Holmes will step in and fill the void. We got a bunch of people who can fill the void anytime. Chad, who has never overslept in his life ever.
I overslept twice last week. And I'm not kidding you. That was like the first time in many years, and it happened twice last week. It happened the day after Labor Day. I couldn't sleep after Labor Day for some reason. I was like, I couldn't sleep. And I finally, and I look at my clock, it's about 20 minutes before I'm supposed to get up and start getting ready. And then I fell asleep, and then I woke up and it was like, I was late. And then a couple of days later, I set the alarm, because I had not been setting the alarm. I said, I got to set the alarm. I set the alarm, but I set the alarm to PM and not AM. So twice in the same week, and that was not good. Good at all.
Yeah.
But as you said, there's always somebody. I have fortunately my producer here. He's sat in for my segment as I hurry my way in. So there's always somebody that's willing to get in front of that microphone.
That's right. Now you have been busy with the microphone. It is high school sports season. You got the big high school sports show as well. That was last night, correct? It's on Wednesdays.
That is correct.
All right. So you're getting set for this. Will be what, week three of the high school football season?
Week four already.
Is it week four already? Wow.
Flies on by. I was saying that it gets late early in the season because it's really the fall sports season is quick. The winter sports season is a long season. It starts just before Thanksgiving and goes into about mid-March, and it is you have numerous holidays that come up, and it's a long season. But boy, the football season, once it gets going, it goes by so very quickly.
Yeah, and the weather can change very quickly. We're still going to be in, I mean, it's going to be, it's foggy right now, but I sense that things are going to be borderline perfect for football tonight around Wisconsin. But, you know, got a couple of more weeks of this, and the folks will have the gloves out, you know, and a little heavier jacket.
I'm just glad tomorrow night's looking nice because I every week when I have a road game, I will contact the athletic director for the school that I'm going to. And I would think that this week I would have no problem because Wausau West is at DC Everest. And I'm happen to be the Wausau West announcer, but I happen to have to gone to school at DC Everest. And the athletic director went to Everest and graduated the year before I did. But no room in the inn for old Chad.
No room at the inn.
He's got to be. Uh-oh. He's got to sit outside tomorrow night. So I'm glad the weather is looking good.
Are you going to be on the roof or are you going to be on the sidelines?
I'm going to be at the top of the bleachers on the visitor side.
Oh, old school. The way our forefathers broadcast games from the top row of the visiting bleachers.
I tell you, because there have been nights where I've had either dealing with cold and wind or rain, and those are bad nights. Those are because you don't protect yourself. You protect the equipment.
Exactly.
The equipment is worth more than yours. That's what I've been told.
Exactly.
Yes, many a time.
Exactly.
Yep, you can be replaced. The equipment can't. Yep. So sacrifice the body if need be.
Hey, Pat, you asked me before the show if I want to talk about something. I'm going to talk about something positive here because it's been you depressed me when you read Derek Van Orden's
tweets last hour. Yeah, I was just going to read a couple and I realized
I'm going to tie it in here.
All right.
It got me thinking a little bit because leadership is important. And we don't see very often where there's an opportunity to do, I think, what's right for a community or a country or anything like that. And this week is I don't know if I say I get surprised all that often, but I got surprised. It was actually late last week when it came down, like on Friday, that the mayor of Wausau, Doug Denny, who we've talked about quite a bit and at times have been critical of, and this week I said, hey, the mayor did something I think is positive for this community, and it was nominating the former mayor, and then the council a couple of nights ago approved it, Katie Rosenberg, to a position, a citizen position, on the Police and Fire Commission. And it sounds like a simple thing to do, but many of the folks that provided the financial support and provided the votes that got Doug Denny into office just over a year ago, I'm certain we're not pleased that he would do anything for Katie Rosenberg. Katie Rosenberg is much loved by many, but also, as you probably well know, is not well liked by many as well on the right. So I give credit to the mayor of Wausau, no matter how this occurred. I don't know how this actually went up from what I've heard and read that Katie Rosenberg did it the old-fashioned way. She didn't make a call to City Hall. She went to the City of Wausau website, which is how any of the citizens can go and apply for a position at one of the citizen positions on these commissions. She filled out the application, you know, in under what experiences that she may have that would be good for this position. Former mayor is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
But I do give the mayor of Wausau credit for doing something that is bipartisan. And I said yesterday when I made a little commentary about this, about I'm not a big fan of just throwing out the word bipartisan. And I think you may have mentioned this in recent weeks, talking about the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act, which was sort of an empty statement because it was an infrastructure act that was pushed through by President Joe Biden and the Democrats, maybe with a couple of stray votes here or there, but it was not a bipartisan infrastructure act. It was an infrastructure act that was pushed through by the Democrats that had the power of the majority in both the Congress and in the White House at the time. So using the term bipartisan in an empty way, I am not a big fan of. But in this case, I felt as though this was something that was bipartisan. It was a mayor from one political persuasion saying that this person of another political persuasion, a political adversary in recent years, is somebody that can be useful on this commission. So you find those, you have to applaud it and you have to spotlight it because it's real.
It is sadly rare. I mean, just that gesture alone only draws a deeper contrast with Republicans running the Wisconsin legislature who have fired all manner of public servants by not approving their nominations, their members that they have fired from the Board of Regents and other commissions who were fellow legislators. And while you don't owe them the courtesy, you also should maybe be able to rise above your bitter partisanship when you're looking at the people who are serving. So again, you're being glass half full here, and I'm calling attention to the half empty part of it, but only because this is the world we live in now, that we have to call such attention to things that we used to take for granted because they are now the exception to a rule that is very much, you know, crush your enemies rather than have polite disagreements.
Well, and the thing about it is that, frankly, this morning, that's kind of the way I feel, in that we've all been, I mean, today's the anniversary of 9/11, and that's just one of the tragic events that have occurred in the course of American history and world history. And in these circumstances, and I would say that in the aftermath of a political assassination, you would look for leadership. And again, that's why I say leadership is important. When you hear what you said about, you know, your reading of those social media posts of Derek Van Orden, when you listen to what Donald Trump said in the Oval Office yesterday, it makes me wonder, what is the road path to any sort of engagement in coming together in fixing problems? Because I don't see any roadmap where Derek Van Orden is going to be a positive influence in fixing the overarching issue, which is, of course, the idea of violence in our political system. I guess I should go back and look. I can't imagine Derek Van Orden was this outraged when Melissa Hortman and her husband were assassinated.
Made kind of a lighthearted dig at Governor Tim Walz, you know, based on politics, based on a mistaken belief about the suspect. So no, there was not something that came in kind from the congressman from Western Wisconsin. But again, he's talking to a particular constituency, not looking to bring people together. There is, you know, the comment sections have become, you know, just a bit of a cesspool today. One that came in just minutes ago saying, "You guys preach just as much hate as others. You're absolutely disgusting clowns."
So sure, this guy, let me jump in real fast.
Yeah.
If this gentleman is out there listening right now, is he admitting that, oh, we promote hate, but you guys do it as well?
I mean, if you're saying just
that,
as much,
but that's what he says. We may promote hate, but you guys do it too. Is that the high ground that this guy wants to stand on? I don't think that's really high ground.
I think that is a very excellent point to wrap up that part of the discussion and to get us back to sports here. From Kristen Appleton, who I believe is State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfine, says, "I'll cheer for an evergreen win to keep you warm."
She and I graduated the same year.
I did not know that.
Everest.
Oh.
So, yeah. So when she won, I was very happy. When she ran and came up just short, I was very unhappy. And I think that she is a wonderful public servant. And when I talk about, you know, what I just said about Derek Van Orden, you talk about somebody that will see a problem and try to work to a good solution. That's Kristen Dassler-Alfine. And Yep, she was. As I like to say, some of us who graduated in the DC Evers class of 89 have done great things, and the other of us are talking on the radio.
Chad Holmes, catch him on 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. Thank you, Chad. We'll talk to you later.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll have Sean O'Malley talking about the opening bell and Joe Zepecki yet here. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Did the dog catch the car? We have election denier legal trouble involving voting dogs, former election officials claiming they're political prisoners, and 2020 fake electors who claim they didn't know what they were doing was wrong. A Costa Mesa, California woman trying to demonstrate mail-in voter fraud was arraigned September 9th for fraudulently registering her dog Maya to vote, then casting a mail ballot in two elections in 2022. Laura Lee Urich self-reported her scheme in 2024 and posted a picture of Maya with an I voted sticker. She faces up to 6 years in prison. Bridge, Michigan reports that a circuit court judge dismissed felony charges against Michigan's 15 GOP fake electors September 2nd. The judge ruled the state failed to prove the electors knew that signing and sending the alternative slate of electors to the U.S. Senate was illegal. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has not ruled out an appeal. Colorado Newsline reports that Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, convicted by a jury of four felonies relating to the tampering of her county's election machines, filed a federal habeas corpus claim asking to be released on bond pending appeal. Her attorney calls Peters a political prisoner. The state argues the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction and the case should be dismissed. We have links to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at SCORE.org.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. I'm talking with Marshall Savitsky, the chief of police for the city of Hayward, and we just got a few, I don't know, random topics we're going to be talking about. You really didn't have too much of a police report to give us, although, you know, we were talking earlier about some of the break-ins of cars and vehicles that have happened recently. Just share a little bit about that and maybe what we can do to prevent people from breaking into our vehicles.
Yeah. Each summer it seems like there's a series of car break-ins, and the month of August was pretty tough on the city PD. We had, just in one day alone, between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m., in the middle of the day we had maybe a dozen car break-ins reported, and those people were apprehended later on in the evening. But, you know, when people leave their cars unlocked on these side streets in town, especially when there's no street lamps or it's unlit or there's nobody out walking around, people are wandering these streets in all evenings or all hours of the day, and you know, people will rummage through your cars and take what they want and close it up, and you won't even know until the next time you get in your car.
Right, yeah. So these were mostly unlocked cars.
They were all unlocked cars.
All unlocked.
One of the families, I said, we have stay-at-home jobs. We work over the computer. They reported a couple days later because they don't drive that often, and their sunglasses are missing. And so it's really unfortunate.
Little stuff. Yeah,
generally, juveniles are taking people's makeup or cologne and sunglasses, things that, you know, phone chargers that they can use.
Well,
lock your vehicles, people of Hayward. This isn't Mayberry. We don't have a Barney Fife running around with one bullet.
No. We have two.
We have two.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, what else you got going on that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, summer's winding down. We're looking at our last big event of the year. That's the Czech 40 that's coming up this upcoming weekend on the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
They're kicking off 10 a.m. They're starting downtown Hayward, and they're ending out in the county.
Yeah.
You got you all know, your Main Street will be blocked off, blocked 63 Railroad, and then they'll be heading out 77 out of the town. So we're looking forward to that. After this interview today, actually, I'm heading up to the sheriff's office to meet with all the teams that are involved, sheriff's office, the Czech 40 group. A lot of the volunteers will be there. So this is one of several meetings that we've had leading up to this event. And it's like anything else. It's like a mini Berkey, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple event for us because, of course, the first 10 minutes of the event, and they're out of town. They're gone.
Yeah.
And so then town goes back to normal. But, like, for Berkey, it ends in town throughout the day. There's waves and waves and waves of skiers coming. So
hours and hours.
This is kind of a gasp of fresh air for us in the city, you know, able to breathe a little bit. But, no, it'll be an exciting event, and we always look forward to it. It always brings in a pretty good crowd, and you know, streets just lined with spectators, and you know, that gush of wind that comes through those downtown buildings is, you know, blow the head off your head. So people really look forward to it, and so do we at the PD. So,
And then the following week, I think it's Fall Fest, right?
Yep, Fall Fest is coming up the following weekend, and downtown will be closed off as always. It's kind of same setup as Muskie Festival with vendors and people coming and selling their fall decorations and kettle corn and things like that. It's an all-day event, and it's pretty low-key. It seems like it always rains that weekend, though, so hopefully we have good weather for it this year, but we'll see.
And hopefully it won't be like Muskie Fest, where we had that strong
the tsunami
draft that came through. And
too many tents were lost that day, and people who had items to sell, pottery and stuff like that, glass items, they all fell over and broke in the wind during Muskie Fest, so I really hope we have good weather for the people selling at Fall Fest this year.
Yeah, and then the next weekend, I think Cable has their Fall Festival. That won't affect much here, but we should be able to see some increased, you know, visitors from the area as they head up towards Cable and pass through. And then the following week after that,
the Great Cranberry Festival. Stone Lake.
That's kind of like the last hurrah for the area.
It is. It is. After that, all the resorts start closing down, and they go to their winter hours and winter menus. Unfortunately, all the bigger items on the menus go go away for us locals. But it's kind of a something we look forward to. Unfortunately, summer's ending, but it makes it a lot easier for the rest of us who kind of keep this community rolling.
Yep. And then there's
The Suicide Awareness Walk that's put on by Health and Human Services is coming up on September 26th. 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. that day. So we'll be involved with that. All the law enforcement groups will be. Of course, we see the raw end of that deal. So we definitely support that awareness, and looking forward to a lot of people coming out for that.
And then you mentioned there is a fundraiser coming up for the police department at Lakewood Cafe.
Yep, Lakewood's Cafe and the family restaurant. The owner reached out to me and said that he wanted to have another fundraiser for us again this year, as he did last year.
Okay.
Last year we had it in November, and I think we raised about $6,400. He matched every penny that was...
No way.
Yep, every penny he matched it that was given that day. So if you went in there and bought a $20 meal, a full $20 goes back to the police department.
Yeah.
That could be for anything, for equipment upgrades to overtime for some enforcement in an area where crimes are happening, like, you know, burglaries into cars or whatever. But
what's the date on that?
Going to be December 16th. It'll be an all-day affair again, so 6 a.m. to, I think they close at 9 or 10 p.m., so breakfast, lunch, and dinner. All proceeds go to the City of Hayward Police Department, and again, it's for upgrades for equipment or whatever else that we may need.
Okay.
So we're looking forward to that. You'll see us in aprons serving coffee and whatever else.
Oh, good.
His family has some other restaurants around the area all over the state, including Ladysmith, and they've been doing it for forever, I guess, at these other restaurants. So it's new for us here in Hayward still, but this will be the second year for it. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll be able to talk about that as December comes closer as well.
Yep.
Well, Marshall, thank you for coming in and chatting with us, and we'll see you next month.
See you next month.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Despite an increase in freshman enrollment, the Universities of Wisconsin announced overall flat enrollment numbers across the system this year. According to preliminary estimates released this week, overall enrollment at the university system dropped by less than 100 students despite the 3% increase in freshmen. UW officials say the flat enrollment numbers could be related to a decline in the number of international students attending the universities, with visa bans and processing delays discouraging those international students from enrolling. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters that archery and crossbow deer hunting season opens this weekend. According to a press release, the two seasons will run through January 4th, except in counties and subunits that have extended their seasons through January 31st. DNR officials say the early archery and crossbow seasons are a great opportunity for hunters to harvest antlerless deer before additional hunting pressure changes their patterns. Bonus authorizations are still available in a number of counties. The Superior Police Department is investigating after a report of an armed intruder at a home on Hammond Avenue prompted a significant response on Tuesday. According to law enforcement authorities, members of the Superior Police Department, Douglas County Sheriff's Office, and SWAT vehicles responded to the home at around 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. Authorities surrounded the home and evacuated the area, but determined that the suspect had fled before they arrived at the scene. The incident remains under investigation. University of Minnesota Duluth union workers have officially gone on strike along with union workers from other UM campuses. Union officials say they authorized the strike because the University of Minnesota failed to meet the needs of their 1,400 union workers across the system. The union workers include critical positions like food service, sanitation, and maintenance. Union leaders also say they urged members to accept the last deal offered by the university system, but 82% of their members voted against it. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives star and founder of the soft swinging group on TikTok called Mom Talk will be the new bachelorette. Taylor Frankie Paul will have her pick of men on national television. But be careful, attention-seeking hot guys, because she is no stranger to scandal. Paul, the mother of two, confessed that she and other couples in the community were soft swingers, meaning she and her husband regularly made out with other couples. Once you get a look at Taylor Frankie Paul, you'll realize why all the other husbands wanted a French kisser. In addition to two hot first names, she has perfect eyebrows. According to the New York Post, the soft swinging resulted in a pregnancy for Paul by another husband. That must have been some kiss. Beware though, Bachelor, she was also charged with a third-degree felony for throwing something at her first husband that accidentally hit her child. Don't worry, the charges were dismissed, paving the way for Paul to choose another potential baby daddy on national TV. I think I'm in love. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of dense fog through mid-morning, then expect partly sunny skies to develop, a beautiful September day with a high of 71. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows near 50 degrees. On Friday, a mix of sun and clouds, another great day with a high of 75. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're recombobulating the news on Thursday. That's right. Dan Schaefer is here, and we're going to be talking about everything coming out of Wisconsin politics, including a huge announcement in the governor's race. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Got a couple of newsletters for you to consider subscribing to if you're not already. From Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson, who's now our correspondent on Capitol Hill, is Below the Beltway, his daily newsletter that you can find at beltway.news or couriernewsroom.com. And a little closer to home, if you're not already subscribing to my Sunday morning newsletter, looking at the week's political headlines, get on over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner. It includes our question of the week, and this week, what caused Donald Trump's flip-flop on releasing the Epstein files? Did he see that he was named in there in a more damaging way that he had expected? Is he protecting somebody? Is he blackmailing somebody? Or is it all a hoax, as he claims? The first people to get to answer that are the folks that subscribe to our Sunday morning newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's get back in touch with Sean O'Malley here, who is a financial compliance, data governance, and risk management expert. He's a Hudson native, certified anti-money laundering specialist. He has worked with Citigroup, Ford Motor Credit, Deloitte & Touche, Morgan Stanley, and many more. And he is we are very honored to have him following some of the economic indicators for us. And Sean, as we talk about stagflation, the combination of inflation, higher inflation and lower employment, where are the new inflation figures showing us where we're at?
Well, Pat, the good news is they're right along with forecast expectations, but the bad news is it's up.
Okay.
So inflation continues to track upwards. Regular CPI was reported at 2.9%. Up from 2.7 in July. So that's definitely tracking upwards, moving sort of in line with what we're seeing with the personal consumption expenditure index, which is the one that the Fed actually watches more than the CPI. Core CPI, though, showed something interesting. It was up 3.1%. And one of the references there was that we're seeing higher food costs. And I'm sure a lot of people can attest to that based on their grocery bills. This is something that affects really everybody. So that's a troubling sign. We don't like to see food costs going up substantially due to the impact that has on the everyday U.S. consumer. But the fact is, that's sort of what's happening right now.
So we've got to pick up where we were last week with Harry Truman and the one-handed economist. When we talk about the Federal Reserve and the next meeting about, you know, on the one hand, looking at inflation, or on the other hand, looking at jobs, what are their choices, A and B here, when it comes to emphasizing one or the other?
Right. So if you want to combat inflation, you need to raise interest rates. If you want to combat low employment or soft employment, you've got to lower interest rates. Can't do both. So the Fed has a Fed Open Market Committee meeting next week on the 16th and 17th. We'll find out what happens. However, I can tell you based on, the secondary revision downward of the, 911,000 jobs down from up to and including March of 2025, that the odds makers are saying that the odds of a larger cut, more than just 25 basis points, which is 0.25%, they're saying the odds of going and having a 0.5% reduction have gone up due to the softer employment numbers. So clearly the market is expecting that the Federal Reserve will cut rates and address the employment situation rather than the inflation situation.
And of course, lead to all kinds of speculation about the political pressure coming from the White House as well. Sean O'Malley with your money in the markets after the opening bell. Sean, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Take care, Pat.
All right. Again, a reminder, the Packers are playing tonight, and if you have a tough time finding the game on Amazon Prime or wherever it is here, you should catch it on the radio. Several Civic media stations have it. Pregame coverage beginning at 5 o'clock. 8:39 now the time, and let's bring in Joe Zepecki. And today is not our best day. It's 9/11, and there's a lot to say about that. There was, of course, a political murder yesterday in Utah, and then even closer to home, I have been where Joe and Melissa are, and that is having to say goodbye to a cherished family pet. My condolences, Joe. I know that this is not easy, and maybe you didn't even want to talk about it on the radio, but I just wanted to say for all of us who've had to be in your shoes that we're thinking of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's a terrible, terrible week, basically any way you slice it.
Yeah.
At home, in this country, thinking about, you know, those lives lost 24 years ago. This is not where anybody wants to be, but we're going to do our best because it is important that we talk about all of this stuff and hopefully make people smarter and give them some perspective and on at least two of those three things, two of those three tragedies, I'm prepared to offer some perspective of my own.
See, this is why it's always tough to come up with follow-up questions for you, because you say it all right the first time, that we need to talk through this and hope that people are a little smarter and get a little bit more perspective as a result of this. And, you know, the overarching theme needs to be and should be that political violence is never the answer. Violence is not politics. All of that. That should be the overarching theme that unites people across the political spectrum. Unfortunately, I thought we were going to spend a lot of time talking like that.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have people who are stoking this, who are driving the wedge deeper in the result, and it's not just the usual trolls and keyboard warriors. Okay. I could tolerate that. We've had a lot of them in the sandbox this morning who want to throw a fistful of sand and, you know, somehow that makes them feel better. It shouldn't, but that's who they are. But one of them is a member of Congress from Wisconsin, and Derek Van Orden's dozens of tweets, stoking division, talking up violence and civil war, everything he pretends not to be when he's getting all this fluffy coverage from too many local media outlets, can't go without mention. He's not just another troll, Joe. This is somebody who his communication should be concerning to not just every voter in the 3rd Congressional District, but every person living in the 3rd District and in Wisconsin overall.
Yes, it is not appropriate. And I think the best way to approach comments like Mr. Van Orden's yesterday or Congresswoman Nancy Mace's is to try to show a little grace. And how I will choose to do that is to offer some perspective on how I have felt some of the other instances and occasions of political violence, going back to the attempted assassination of Gabby Giffords, a Democratic congresswoman from Arizona. Almost everybody knows her story, so we won't go through all of that. And as I was thinking about yesterday and having some pretty raw conversations, including with Republicans in my life, when something like this happens and you are in the political world in the way that members of Congress are, or in the way that I and my wife are, you lose some of the remove, and it feels like it is something that has happened to you, and you have to grapple with the potential that something like this could happen, not just to you directly, but someone you love or someone you know. And I say that as someone who got a voicemail from a distant, you know, a family member, not somebody I'm super close with and see all the time, but who was like, hey, I know you're out there and I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. And when emotions are raw, people are not at their best. I'm not at my best this week because of what we've lost in our own home. And so rather than descend further down that spiral of darkness that Dr. King talked about, the descending spiral of violence. I just think we have to try to show grace. I don't think Derek Van Orden thinks that the flag has dropped on the next civil war in this country. I think that he and people who are in the MAGA movement are feeling personally attacked and like it is something that has happened to them. And that is true. At the same time, it is true that we live in politically violent times, and it's the work of all of us, from, you know, organizers and activists to elected officials to our broader society. We have to find our way out of this. We have before. When you think about the length of time when Dr. King and President Kennedy and Senator Bobby Kennedy were all gunned down, that was an incredibly turbulent time in America, not just in our politics, but in our society and in our culture. And we found a way through it. And maybe the best thing we can do today is stop pretending that we don't live in politically violent times. We do. Gabby Gifford, Steve Scalise, Paul Pelosi, State Senator Melissa Homan, now Charlie Kirk, January 6th. These are politically violent times. And it is now the work of a generation to move beyond it, to remember that as much as I disagreed with almost everything that Charlie Kirk ever said on the platforms he had and how vehemently I disagree with his worldview, no American should ever face physical violence, much less murder, for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity, not just at the micro level, but at the macro. Every American and everyone who aspires to be American and every fellow citizen of the world has some basic rights to live freely. And we as Americans should be on the side of, we want more people in more places around the world to enjoy the freedoms that this country has for a very long time, including the right to free speech. And so I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's how I'm thinking about this today, is, okay, we're here. Now we got to get out of here.
Oh, we do. And there is no way but forward. You can't sit and dwell on this, because we don't. We have moved along since 9/11, while not forgetting. We have moved on since Columbine, not forgetting, but saying, well, the next day is here. What are we going to do with this next day? Charlie Kirk was one of, on average, 300 people shot every day in America, every day. And about 125 people in this country every day die from gun violence. Setting aside the political notion of this, and you know that is the larger issue here, but we are a nation that is essentially figuratively under the gun, and need to remind ourselves that Charlie Kirk was one of about 125 people murdered by guns yesterday, and that discussion is not going to go away, nor is this daily list of carnage, until some of our conversations turn to, how can we reduce this? How can we work together to reduce this? We're not going to agree on everything, but we got to find something. And I've left you all of 30 seconds here to give me your best answer.
Well, let's look to the helpers. Let's look to the people who are trying to make a positive impact, including some Wisconsin Democrats who, in memory of the late Jonathan Brostoff, are advancing legislation that would allow people to put themselves on a do not sell firearms list. That is legislation that I think even the strongest Second Amendment proponent would say somebody can say, don't sell me a gun for a year. I'm not in a great place. That doesn't solve all of this, but it gets us more focused on solutions rather than the awfulness of the problem.
It is a step. More with Joe Zepecki and some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Did the dog catch the car? We have election denier legal trouble involving voting dogs, former election officials claiming they're political prisoners, and 2020 fake electors who claim they didn't know what they were doing was wrong. A Costa Mesa, California woman trying to demonstrate mail-in voter fraud was arraigned September 9th for fraudulently registering her dog Maya to vote, then casting a mail ballot in two elections in 2022. Laura Lee Urich self-reported her scheme in 2024 and posted a picture of Maya with an I voted sticker. She faces up to 6 years in prison. Bridge, Michigan reports that a circuit court judge dismissed felony charges against Michigan's 15 GOP fake electors September 2nd. The judge ruled the state failed to prove the electors knew that signing and sending the alternative slate of electors to the U.S. Senate was illegal. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has not ruled out an appeal. Colorado Newsline reports that Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, convicted by a jury of four felonies relating to the tampering of her county's election machines, filed a federal habeas corpus claim asking to be released on bond pending appeal. Her attorney calls Peters a political prisoner. The state argues the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction and the case should be dismissed. We have links to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco fire products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Coming up next, Matt Nair on air, Greg Bach in, while Jane continues a little break here. Greg's guests include former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And Jim Santel will, of course, join us tomorrow as our usual Week in Review panel, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. All right, little point of personal privilege here, and then we'll get back to our conversation with Joe Zepecki. If you did not catch the very first part of the show today, that is where I shared my feelings on Charlie Kirk and his murder yesterday, and letting the record show that I am beyond angry at the idiot who committed this crime. He or she did not have permission to take a life, no matter how much you disagreed with that person. And I disagreed with this person a lot, and I put it all out there. Just after 6 o'clock this morning, because before anybody goes and turns somebody into a martyr, let's make clear what the record showed about Charlie Kirk. And then it makes it that much more upsetting to say the way to address that is not through a bullet, but through ballots. And we've had that theme today and throughout the day, I'm sure. But if you missed that and want to listen back, you can catch the 6 a.m. hour either through the Civic Media website or follow the program on Spotify or on Apple. We're going to turn our discussion now to 9/11 and commemorate that with just some memories and remembering the sacrifices and the souls that were lost. Joe, I'll go first and say that on September 11th, 2001, I was actually sleeping in because I was anchoring the 6 and 10 o'clock news. And so I got a call from a friend and coworker saying, turn on your TV. And at that point, I just could not take my eyes off the screen for about 2.5 hours, right, shortly after the second building collapsed. And the phone rang, and it was my news director saying, you better come in. And we started doing live local updates because, remember, at the time, nobody knew. Nobody knew how many planes there were. Nobody knew that this was pretty much restricted to Washington, D.C. and Shanksville, Pennsylvania, also to, you know, New York City. We didn't know. So there were local updates throughout, and we were on air until just after midnight, and we signed off and got in my car and cried like a baby. It was just such an anguishing day. And I don't know your memories at all, but I did want to give you a chance to share either memories or observations.
I was a student at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater on 9/11. The summer just before, I had been an intern on Capitol Hill. And I think some of what I remember of that day informs how I'm feeling today in the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination and what I said, that there are folks who feel like it happened to them. And as someone who had been on Capitol Hill every day going to work during the summer, and that, you know, as throughout the day, as we didn't know if more planes were headed to the Capitol or other parts of DC, it was terrifying. And there's an Alan Jackson song, you know, asking, what did you do? I called my mom. I was that sophomore in college who fell asleep watching CNN at night. Spoiler alert, I've been a nerd for a very long time. And when somebody in the hallway was banging on doors and telling people to turn on the TV, I turned it on just as the second tower was hit. And it's a day that it's hard to put into words what it has meant for this country. But this morning, I am certainly, and maybe there's a through line and a theme here, thinking about the helpers, thinking about the heroes, whether it's Todd Beamer and the crew of Flight 93, who saved untold lives by storming the cockpit, whether it's the man in the red bandana who raced into the World Trade Center to help people get out, whether it's the 343 New York City firefighters who knew as they went back in that they might not come out. And there have always been people who are willing to do the right thing and try to help others, even when the odds are against you. And maybe that's the way we have to connect what happened yesterday with what happened 24 years ago, is we all need to remember that sometimes it's pretty easy. There's a right and a wrong, and helping your fellow man and woman, being somebody who does the right thing and tries to be of service to others, is something that we can all do. The heroes of 9/11 were not politicians. They were ordinary folks trying to live their version of the American dream. And may all of those lives lost memories remain a blessing. And, you know, may we all get through all of these dark, scary times into a brighter future.
And let's just all be better to each other. And to that end, on the text line from Tiffany in River Falls, Joe, sending love to you and your family as we have recently gone through the loss of a dog. Thank you for keeping us grounded during these difficult times. And again, it's just nice to see. It's nice to see the shreds of humanity, which are necessary, because I think we're doing a disservice if we don't point out the instances that, you know, endanger our peace and our unity. And that sounds divisive, but let me reemphasize, calling out somebody else's divisiveness is not divisive. Calling out somebody else's racism is not racist. Calling out somebody else's sexism is not sexist. Let us look for those ways that we can be better to one another without overlooking the shortcomings and the challenges ahead of us. And I think it's just more dialogue, Joe, with people like you that are going to get us there.
I hope it helps in some small way.
Yep.
Appreciate you, my friend.
I appreciate you as well, sir. Thank you very much. Take care. Have a good day out there. And thanks to all of you for being here with us as well. Again, Matt and Air on Air coming up next. Greg Bach in, and then Todd Alba at 2 o'clock. And so much more all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we will do this again tomorrow morning here up north, bright and early at 6 a.m. In the meantime, follow what we do over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Sign up for our newsletters. And remember, you can pod this program anytime as well. Have a great day.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. Officials in Utah providing an update on the investigation into the killing of Charlie Kirk. FBI Special Agent in Charge, Robert Bowles.
We have recovered what we believe is the weapon that was used in yesterday's shooting. It is a high-powered bolt-action rifle.
Kirk, the conservative political activist, was shot and killed yesterday at Utah Valley University while holding an event for his organization Turning Point USA. That gunman, thought to be positioned on a rooftop more than 100 yards away, is still on the run. The U.S. is now dealing with its highest inflation numbers since January. New data out this morning from the Bureau of Labor Statistics finds inflation is now 2.9% higher than this time last year, driven primarily by housing costs. And in New York City today,
Brian G. Ahern.
Jeremiah Joseph Ahern.
Mourners are remembering the September 11th attacks by reading out the names of the people who died that day. This is ABC News. Andre.